you descend from Cain or Abel? And people stop and think, and they think, well, did I descend from Cain? It's a trick question. Because we didn't, you know, we may all have some Cain, some blood of Cain in us. But Abel was killed with no descendants. However, the next son they had was Seth. And Seth was the righteous line that came down all the way to Enoch and then to Noah. But Cain went the way of evil, and so did his descendants, most of them. Adam and Eve, let me just go back and skip some of it. God sent Cain out to wander. When Cain had traveled over many countries, he with his wife built a city named Nod, which is a place so called, and there he settled his abode, where also he had children. However, he did not accept of his punishment in order to amendment, but to increase his wickedness. He didn't repent. He got more wicked. For he only aimed to procure everything that was for his own bodily pleasure, though it obliged him to be injurious to his neighbors. He augmented his household substance with much wealth by rapine and violence. Rapine means physical, taking physical things. Same basic root as rape, rapine. But to take physical things by violence. By rapine and violence, he excited his acquaintance to procure pleasures and spoils by robbery and became a great leader of men into wicked courses. Now, that doesn't sound like a very nice guy, does he? And then it says, even while Adam was alive, it came to pass that the posterity of Cain became exceeding wicked, everyone successively dying one after another more wicked than the former. They were intolerable in war and vehement in robberies. And if anyone were slow to murder people, yet was he bold in his profligate behavior, in acting unjustly, doing injuries for gain. So that's the line of Cain. Well, what about the line of Seth? Now, this posterity of Seth continued to esteem God as the Lord of the universe and to have an entire regard to virtue for seven generations. But in process of time, now when you get down to seven generations, you're getting down close to Enoch and Methuselah and Noah, down to the end. In process of time, they were perverted. So even the line of Seth became perverted. That's why God only took Noah and his three sons and their wives. Because even the descendants of Seth, other than Noah, went into degeneracy and violence. In process of time, they were perverted and forsook the practices of their forefathers and did neither pay those honors to God which were appointed them, nor had they any regard to do justice toward men. Now, what happened to Noah? He was living in this violent age. And we know it was not a righteous age, right? Because God didn't save many people out of it. Noah was very uneasy at what they did. And being displeased at their conduct, persuaded them to change their dispositions and their acts for the better. But seeing they did not yield to him, Noah was preaching the truth. We know his grandfather Enoch did. Seeing they did not yield to him, but were slaves to their wicked pleasures, he was afraid they would kill him. Together with his wife and children, and those they had married, so he departed out of that land. He had to even flee from his own brethren. But where could he go? The whole earth was perverted. So, I mean, we don't know that everything that is in here is exact, but it does fit in. I mean, it doesn't contradict the Bible there. Some things Josephus has do contradict the Bible, but nothing he says there contradicts the Bible. So I just bring that out. We know that the time before the flood got worse and worse and worse. And there was righteousness for seven generations on the side of Seth, but then it got worse and worse and worse. I want to look at Jude. Verses 14 and 15. Jude. Verses 14 and 15. Now this Jude quotes a book called the Book of Enoch. You say, where's the Book of Enoch? Well, we don't have it. There are some books out called the Book of Enoch, but they know that they were not from the time of Jesus. They weren't from the time of Jude. That book is lost. The only thing we have from the Book of Enoch is what is quoted in the New Testament from the Book of Enoch. And so he does quote what was the Book of Enoch. We have some quotes in other writings, but we don't have that book. Here in Jude, verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also. Remember the seventh generation, there was righteousness and then it got evil? Prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. You know something? If you read what Enoch wrote here, or what is quoted that Enoch said, do you think that would win friends? Do you think an evil world would say, oh, Enoch, we just love you. You're wonderful. You're telling us that the Lord is coming to execute judgment. Convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Oh, Enoch, we just love you. I don't think so. He didn't win friends. He certainly did influence people, but probably to hate him. I mean, how's the world going to feel about the two witnesses? They're going to rejoice when those two guys are killed because they're convicting the world just like Enoch did before the flood. A preacher of righteousness. And we're just going back and looking at a little bit of what Enoch lived through, and Noah. Then in verse 9, Jude, verse 9. Here is an example of how God deals sometimes with His servants who have been righteous. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. It's interesting. There's no place in the Old Testament that tells us that Michael and Satan disputed. No place back there that says that. So God had to reveal that in another way. It's not in the book of Deuteronomy where it shows Moses dying. God took him off. It was time to take Moses. God took Moses when he was 120 years old. Was not going to let him go into the promised land. They said, it's time for you to go. Took him out by himself. Took his life. Now that's a painless way to go. God just, that's it. You're gone. You're here. You're gone. And God hid the body of Moses. He hid it. Now I think what Satan probably wanted to do was not desecrate the body, but to cause people to worship it. You know, they'd have icons and things around, and they would go out there and they'd build mosques, they would build temples, they would build, you know, synagogues, whatever it is, to the bones of Moses, to his grave. So he hid him. He hid his body. And if we go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, did I say 8? Verse 5. 2 Peter 2 verse 5. Sorry about that. You've got that in your notes. 2 Peter 2 verse 5. Now, I'm going to give you something that I cannot prove, so let's... There are some things we can prove. What's in the Bible, I can prove. That's clear. What's in the book of Josephus, a historian who lived right after the time of Jesus, lived during the lifetimes of the apostles who were there, who lived after Jesus. I can read that, but we can't... We won't base our salvation on it. And I'm going to read this verse. This verse is difficult. It is difficult. So what I'm going to give you is really going to be just a bit of speculation. I will read it first of all in the New King James. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Now that's possibly the translation that it should be. However, it's not really, it's adding some things that aren't in the Greek. And maybe they should be added. Now this is the King James. It's going to take me a moment. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 in the King James Version. How many of you happen to have the King James? Not the New King James. You have King James in your lap. Anybody? Just a few back here. Okay. Here's what it says. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth. Doesn't say saved eight people. Eight. It says eighth. E-I-G-H-T-H, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now why? What's the point of the difference? It doesn't say eight persons, it says the eighth. But those of you who have a King James Version there, and even the New King James, the word person is not in the Greek. It's in italics. Does that make any difference? Not only that, you notice, if you take that out, you read, save Noah the eighth, a preacher of righteousness. Well, what's the point there? Wait. Let's look at something else. Notice the little word a. That's called an indefinite article. A definite article would be a the, if it said the preacher of righteousness. That's emphatic, definite. But it has indefinite, a. But you know something that was added? Because Greek didn't have indefinite articles. There are not indefinite articles in Greek. There's just nothing there. Now, sometimes maybe there should be an A. I mean, you in writing it in English, maybe it does mean A, but maybe it doesn't. You had to decide whether there was an indefinite article or nothing. It's not there. So let's just try reading it without the word person and without the indefinite article, which is not in the Greek. I'll read it again. I'm just going to start from Noah. Noah, the eighth preacher of righteousness. Noah, the eighth preacher of righteousness. Now, could there have been, is God saying he was the eighth person on the ark? And by the way, the word is eighth. This Greek word is only used five times in the Bible, obviously only in the New Testament. And every place it is used, agdoas, every place it is used, it is translated as eighth in the King James. In the New King James, it's translated as eighth four times, but this one place in 2 Peter 5, they have eight. But it really is eighth. So was he the eighth person on board the ship? Because the word is eighth. Or was he the eighth preacher of righteousness starting after Adam? And you'd say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is if you start from Adam and you go to Seth, and he'd say he's the first preacher of righteousness, and then go down through all the ones who are listed in the book of Genesis, you get to the fact that Noah was not the eighth descendant of the line of Seth. He was the ninth. He was the ninth descendant. So in that line of nine descendants, from Adam to the flood, is it possible that one person of those who are listed in the book of Genesis as the descendants was not a preacher of righteousness? Well, Noah's grandfather was Enoch. Noah's father was Methuselah. He's famous because he may not be the oldest person who ever lived. He's the oldest person ever mentioned by his age. But if you figure out his age and how long it took, Methuselah died the year of the flood. Now, is that a coincidence? Or is it possible that he saw his father Enoch, who only lived 365 years? That's pretty short, you know. Guy hardly got started, right? 365. Everybody else is living 800-900 years. He only gets 365. He was 65 when he had his first child, Methuselah. And Methuselah died the year of the flood. Is it possible that Methuselah, because things had really gotten wicked, that he saw his father Enoch, a preacher of righteousness who was hated, and his father either got killed or God took him away to spare him from being executed, and God just took his life? Did he see his father die at just 365 and he didn't preach? And so he died in the flood? I mean, that's, as I said, I'm going to read this verse as speculation. The point I'm making is that before the flood, Enoch and Noah, by that time, were living an extremely dangerous period where their lives were threatened or lost. That's the point that I am making with this. And that is easy to tell. That is easy to tell. Some men before the flood lived a long time. Adam, 930 years. Mahalalel, the grandfather of Enoch, 895. Jared, the father of Enoch, 962. Methuselah, the son of Enoch, 969. So why did Enoch only live for 365? Did Methuselah see his father die or just get killed when God took him? I want to turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. Now, I'm giving you a lot of things that if somebody asks you to explain Enoch, you don't have to explain. I just happen to have a whole sermon, and I thought you might be interested in some of the possibilities. And let me say this word, theories, for some of this. I mean, some things that we read are sure, but some things are just theories. Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. And this is speculative. Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. Then Lamech, now he's a descendant of Cain, which not everybody who's a descendant of Cain would have been wicked the whole time, I'm sure. In fact, one of them is, one of his descendants is listed as being righteous by tradition. But he says to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, O wives of Lamech, hear, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. The question is this young man, is this young man that he is speaking of, Enoch? Some have theorized that he killed a man for wounding him, and that was actually his ancestor Cain, taking over from Cain, saying, I'm taking over from Cain, who's ruling the world. And he's who would have still been alive at Lamech's time. He would have been a very, very old man, but he would have been alive. But did he kill a young man? Was that, some have speculated as talking about Enoch. You can't prove that, obviously. Genesis 5, verse 21 through 24. We want to read this and see what it says, but also see what it doesn't say. Genesis 5, verse 21 through 24. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch was not. Now notice he walked with God 300 years. That is after the birth of Methuselah at age 65. And then it says, verse 23, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Let's notice, that's all the days. He's not alive somewhere. You could say, well, if God spared him, maybe he's alive somewhere. Well, where was he during the flood? And did he go to heaven? Well, the Bible says he didn't. So is he on Mars? Or is he dead? All the days of Enoch were 365 years. That means that's all he lived. And then he died. But then it says, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, where did he take him? And he was not. The question is that we're asking, was not what? What was he not? Doesn't say he was not tall, he was not handsome, he was not smart, he was not too cold. What was he not? It says he was not. Now the Jewish Sansino commentary, here's a Jewish thought, states this, quote, "These words may mean either," here are two possibilities, "that as a reward for his piety, Enoch did not meet with the ordinary fate of mortals, but like Elijah, was taken to heaven without the agony of death. Or that Enoch died prematurely." And notice the Jewish Sansino, Jewish tradition, based on Jewish rabbis, there are two possibilities. God spared him the ordinary fate of mortals, took him to heaven. Well, the Jews don't accept the book of John, which says no man's ascended into heaven. So the Jews can speculate whatever they want. We have John chapter 3. We cannot speculate that he went to heaven. So what is the other suggestion that Jewish rabbis had? Or that Enoch died prematurely. He was not. The Bible in basic English has translated it, "For Enoch went on in God's ways, and he was not seen again. For God took him." Where did he take him? Well, where did God take... I mean, it's just speculation at this point. Where did God take Moses when Moses was not seen again? Took him out in the wilderness, took his life, put him to sleep, hid the body. I would think that if Enoch's body had been found, that they would have desecrated it. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. Let's just look at that example. What happened to Enoch is more a matter of elimination than clear statement. You eliminate this possibility, you eliminate that possibility. You're only left with one possibility. All right, two at the most for some things. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day." God sometimes does that with his servants, maybe for different reasons. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews 9, giving you a chance. Verse 27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment." The point is, normally, everybody dies. Now, the exception might be, you could argue, that some will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Now, in a sense, you could say that's the death of the physical body. You could argue it. But normally, for all people, it is appointed for men to die once. Everybody. Christians, they die once. But hopefully not twice. There is a second death. Enoch will not receive the second death. And hopefully you and I won't. Then I want to go to Hebrews 11. And verse 5. it has Hebrews 11, verse 5, by faith. Now here's the verse that is difficult for people. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, the Scripture says he didn't go to heaven. But he was translated. But what is that? And another thing. The words, there are four words in the New King James here that are not in the Bible. They're not in the Greek. So that he did. So that he did. That is not in the Greek. Now you would think that that adds a lot, that clarifies things, but it's not there. There is a word that can mean to. By faith, Enoch was translated to not see death. Or, I want to read it from another translation. The King James has, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, or to not see death. Well, is he dead? The Bible says everybody dies. So what does this mean? And was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, let's talk about the word translated. Methotithemi. Methotithemi is translated in English as translator, translated. Carry over. Remove. He was removed. He was carried over. Changed. Turn. It's used in the Bible in six different places. It can mean to transfer, to change, transpose, I should say. And such. Now, I want to look at this word translated. Methotithemi. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 15 through 16. Some other places that it is used in the Bible. It's not used a lot, but here's one of the places. Acts 7, verse 15 through 16. Acts 7, verse 15. So Jacob went down to Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem, and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the son of Shechem. Ah, the word translated, methotithemi, is in verse 16. Where it says, and they were carried back. Methotithemi is translated carried back. So it can mean just physically carried somewhere. Just physically carried somewhere. So God could have carried him somewhere. And that would fit methotithemi. Let's turn also to Acts 7. Verse 59 and 60. Acts 7, verse 59 and 60. Now here's the way a person can be carried. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I've given sermons on the spirit in man. We have a spirit within us. It doesn't think without being in a body. It's not a soul. It's not something that thinks. If your body gets hit with a big brick in the back of your head, your spirit doesn't continue thinking. Now, if you have enough drugs, your spirit doesn't continue thinking, doesn't waft off anytime it wants. He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, spirit in man. God has something He takes from us that He saves for the resurrection. And then He gives us a spirit body and puts our mind back in that spirit body. We've talked about it like a tape. I suppose now we should say it's like a CD. Receive my spirit. All right, what does that mean? Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, what did he do? Waft off to heaven? He fell asleep. He fell asleep. Stephen is not. Just like Enoch is not. Stephen is not. God took him. He is asleep. He's not up in heaven thinking. Stephen is dead, waiting for the resurrection. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 13. Now here's another way to be translated. One way is to be carried over. Be carried somewhere. Our spirit is carried over to God. When we die, we're still asleep. But here's another way to be translated. There's another way to think about it. Colossians 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now here, Paul is writing to the Colossians who are not dead. They were not in heaven. The kingdom of God was not on earth yet, but they were translated into the kingdom because their citizenship is in heaven. And we are citizens of and subjects to the King. So we are in the kingdom, though the kingdom is not on earth. We've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Notice in John 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. By the way, we have articles on, we have a booklet on heaven and hell. And one of the chapters is about Enoch, and another chapter is about Elijah. And I have copied those two chapters, and they're out in the lobby on the table. Also, back in Worldwide at the time of Mr. Armstrong, we had a booklet called Where Are Enoch and Elijah? And I have copied, I downloaded it off of a website. It's a little longer. I put that on the table out there. I didn't put as many copies of it because it's a little longer to copy. It's 4 pages long. So I spared myself some copying and stapling by not having a lot of them. John 5, verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Now we can lose that everlasting life. We've discussed that. We can give it up. If we have Jesus in us, we have everlasting life in us. Has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Now this is not the same Greek word. But it is the same principle that being translated is moving, and it's the same as passing. You pass from one place to another. Passed from death to life. And we know that Enoch walked with God and passed from death to life. Not, he didn't enter into eternal life yet. Paul entered into life, passed from death to life, but he's not living now. He's waiting for the resurrection. David passed from death to life, was translated, moved from death to life, but his grave is with us, Peter said. Has passed from death into life. 1 John 3, verses 14 and 15. 1 John 3. Verse 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother, we read this last week, abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The part I want to read about that, there is life. We can have eternal life, and we can move from death to life, but we don't really receive the promise until the resurrection. But you can pass, you can be translated from death to life in this life, but we don't receive it until the resurrection. Now, translated means to be carried physically or metaphorically. Because we read where it was metaphorical. There are places where it's physical and places where it's metaphorical. That is, you can be carried, metatizomai, or you physically or spiritually. And what was it for Enoch? What does that mean in the case of Enoch? It could mean that God physically took him out to a place and hid his body so that he not be desecrated. That's a possibility, physically. It could be that God moved Enoch from death to life spiritually. That he was promised to be in God's kingdom, and was just as we're translated into the kingdom. He was translated into the kingdom in this life. In Revelation 20, verse 14, it says, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. He's promised to not die that death. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, though. Hebrews 11. And we'll start in verse 5 and read down to verse 13. We already read Hebrews 11, verse 5. Let's go back and start off and read it again. I want you to remember the verse that says we have been translated into the kingdom of His Son. It's the same exact Greek word. By faith, Enoch was translated to not see death. We know he is dead. And we're going to see that here in the Scripture. So the basic meaning seems to be that he was translated spiritually to live forever in the resurrection. And was not found. God took him somewhere. Sounds like he was translated physically and spiritually. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And for he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now he mentions Noah. By faith, Noah went out. Now in verse 8, he mentions Abraham. By faith, Abraham went out, was called out. The next person that is mentioned is in verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself did such and such. Start in verse 13, and verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and in him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable. In other words, you can't number them. Not that there may be the exact number. Certainly not. Innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now he has listed Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. And he says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So I think it's easy for you to explain to people what these verses don't mean. They don't mean that Enoch is in heaven. Because there are scriptures that say that there's no one has gone to heaven except Jesus. And it doesn't mean that he's alive now, because it says these all died in faith. And he's right in the middle of them. Well, not totally in the middle. He's second listed of all those that are listed. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then I want to go down and read verse 39. Hebrews 11, verse 39. Mentioning all the people in Hebrews 11. All of them that are listed here. And verse 39 says, and thee and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, that includes Enoch, did not receive the promise. At least not yet. They have not received it. So we know Enoch was translated. It could mean physically his body. It could mean spiritually, from death to life, because both are mentioned in the Bible. Translated is used both ways. But it could be both. It could be both, physically and spiritually. He was translated. Here are some things we do know for sure. Number one, Enoch died physically. Two, Enoch was translated to eternal life, but he will not inherit it until the resurrection. I'll read that again. Enoch was translated to eternal life, but he will not inherit it until the resurrection. And three, Enoch is not in heaven. And so we'll read that verse last, John 3, verse 13. And this is the main verse. If somebody asks you, you may have a little trouble explaining translated. I mean, I took a long time here today to explain it. Went through many, many verses. So I realize it's much easier for you to explain what these verses don't mean. They don't mean he's in heaven, that he's still alive. But at least in your mind, you can be assured of perhaps the possibilities of what it does mean. That was my purpose, to let you know what it does mean. John 3 and verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven Very important. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven.